Episode 20 of the Night of the Living Dreads podcast. This week, we are discussing two legends in the horror genre, as well as a brand new segment entitled
This Week's SMF.
Oh, that sounds intriguing. Night of the Living Dreads starts now. Episode 20 already. Well, 20 episodes. We did have a little hiatus. But this is Night of the Living Dreads podcast. Again, episode 20. I'm one of your hosts. I am Otis B. Dreads. And
I am Malice Murphy.
And we got a pretty interesting show today. Before we jump into all that, though, before the show, I was eating some. I'm a big fan. I'm not a fan of regular jelly beans, but what I am a fan of is the Starburst jelly beans, because I do like Starburst. And, of course, the dog wants to chime in. Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Starburst jelly beans, and, you know, I would grab a couple, and... I came in, I asked you if you wanted some jelly beans, and you just went on this whole backstory of why jelly beans are
the nastiest fucking candy in the world.
Is not the candy of choice for Malice, and why is that?
That's like the only candy I got when I was little. Like my mom would always just give me jelly beans, and even for Easter, you know, just 1,000 fucking jelly beans in the Easter basket, and I'm like, I hate this fucking candy. It like sticks to my teeth, and it's just disgusting. It was jelly bean overload.
But well, I can get that. You just got it in such abundance that it was just.
I would rather eat rocks.
Wow. Speaking of rocks, did you ever like grape nuts?
Grape nuts, no.
The cereal? Yeah, it reminded me of the pebbles on the bottom of a fish tank. But anyway, candy. So what kind of did you never get any other kind of candy?
Well, yeah, no, I mean, Sour Patch Kids.
Right, and you're a fan of those?
Yeah,
and,
the old ones, like, right. The original.
Yeah.
Well, that shit that burst in your mouth. I don't want anything bursting in my mouth. The exploder type
Sour
candies.
Sour Patch Kid just busted a nut in Malice's mouth.
The fuck it did.
That was horrible. Man, this show has really gone downhill quick. So, but you like the old school Sour Patch Kids, the...
like Warheads.
What about things like Starburst? See, I was never a big Warheads fan. I didn't like those too much.
Starbursts were all right, but they were kind of...
Skittles? You
know, the same things that got stuck in your teeth. Yeah, I love Skittles.
Yeah. I would always put up with that. Yeah, Starburst is bad about that, sticking in your teeth. But the horrible another horrible story of Malice's childhood doesn't involve, you know, being scared to death by your father, but it does involve
giving shitty candy by my mom. She gave me jelly beans. She hated me.
If she would have hated you, she'd have gave you all black ones, because those are the worst jelly beans ever. And it's not, I know it sounds like a racial thing. There's no racial jokes. No, I just do not. I don't like black licorice. I like red licorice.
I like black licorice.
Really? I'm not a fan of that. Because it sticks in your teeth. It looks like you got more fillings than you actually do.
Or more cavities.
Or cavities. Oh, anyway. Like I mentioned at the beginning of our new intro, this is the second week that we've had it going. We'll be talking about a couple horror legends. Legends in the horror genre. Not going to give you that name until you'll figure it out at the break.
Some definite legends, though, man.
Definite legends. I mean, too, you know, just top names. You when you think of the horror genre, and
if you don't think of these guys, you don't know horror.
You don't know horror. Yeah, yeah. Basically. I don't want to give too much away. I kind of want to, you know, make it kind of a, you know, a little bit of a secret, but also. A brand new segment that, you know, this was actually your idea, and I think this is going to be really cool. Now, I'll try to give a brief explanation. You tell me if I'm right, okay? This week's SMF, okay, is basically going to be just a maybe not so well known, maybe some people may know, there are a lot of, you know, people out there like us who dive into, you know, a lot of serial killers and things of that nature. But SMF, this week's SMF is going to be, you know, more of some maybe unknown. Like I said, maybe some people may have heard of some of the ones that we're going to feature every week.
Right.
But the chances may be, we're hoping will be slim.
Right.
And, hey, with that... Here's this week's SMF.
Oh, you sick motherfucker!
Like roadside barbecue? If so, you're gonna not so much like this week's SMF malice. Who is this week's SMF and what SMF?
Well, this week's sick motherfucker is Joe Metheny. Of Baltimore, Maryland, also known as Tiny. He was a 500-pound truck driver who raped, murdered, and mutilated most of his victims. He was only convicted of 3 murders, although he claimed to murder well over 10 people, at least 7 in one night.
Was he a cannibal?
I'm pretty sure. I mean, he might have ate his own.
I think he may. I'm just, you know, making a reference to the weight.
He would... mix the meat, you know, the human flesh with meat and sell it at a roadside barbecue.
From his victims?
Yeah, from his victims.
Wow. Oh, please continue.
These people that met their demise, they paid the ultimate price while he was trying to track down his drug-addicted wife who ran off with their son. In Metheny's confession, he says that, "To start out, I will tell you about myself at the present moment, which is locked up. I am 48 years old. I weigh about 450 pounds. It's not all fat." And if you've seen this guy...
If you've seen him...
You know he's a liar.
Yeah, he's kind of stretching the truth a little bit.
Because I've been locked up for almost 8 years now, but when I was... but...
Let me
one
clear
has
my
been
throat.
Sentenced to to a couple... of life without parole sentences. Time doesn't matter anymore. I have no problem with being locked up, for no one put me here but myself, and I deserve to be right where I'm at because I had 12 law-abiding jurors that told me so in a couple different cases. Ha ha.
He literally did a ha ha. Yeah. Really? So he kind of laughed off the court system, the judicial system? Is that what I'm getting from that?
I would assume so.
Yeah, laughing. Okay.
He goes, I was only convicted of 2 murders and 1 kidnapping for the one that got away. I got 50 years for her. The first murder, I was sentenced to life without parole. The second one, they gave me the death penalty. I sat on Maryland's death row for 3 years, and then they overturned my sentence and gave me another life without parole and sent me down here for the rest of my life. I killed 7 people, 3 men and 4 women. two men I chopped up with an axe under a bridge in South Baltimore. I was found not guilty for them because they couldn't prove I did it. Under the same bridge, I also killed two women and one man who was fishing, who just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. I weighed their bodies down and put them in the river. I showed the police where I put them about 3 years later, but they couldn't find them, so they could not charge me for them. My murder rampage started out as revenge, but ended up as a passion for the taste of blood, an overwhelming sense of power one gets from taking another's life.
Wow. And that was his confession, as you prefaced that, right? His confession. He was telling what investigators or police or something at that point, or was it just something he wrote down and then turned over to a judge? Do we know that?
No, this was a confession that he was given to a reporter.
A reporter, okay, yes. Yeah. Regardless, I guess that is really, you know, nothing in when you look at the scope of what you just read of his confession. I mean, it's pretty, you know, haha.
Yeah, this is on murderpedia.org.
There you go. So if you want to read more about
this.
But what else do we got on this guy?
He, you know, like we stated before, he claimed to, you know, chop up the victims and mix their meat with, meat and sell it at a roadside barbecue. He said, and I quote, "No one can tell the difference between pork and human flesh when it's mixed together."
End quote. Wow.
You know, my only regret is I didn't get to murder the two motherfuckers I was really after, my ex-old lady and the bastard that she got hooked up with.
Man.
And all in all, and Joe's words, you know, well, so the next time you're riding down the road and you happen to see an open pit barbecue stand that you've never seen before, make sure you think about the story before you take a bite of that sandwich. Sometimes you never know who you may be eating. Oh, ha ha.
Ha ha. Another quote. Ha ha.
Yeah.
That is one sick motherfucker.
Definitely one sick motherfucker.
I mean, and that's really kind of a crazy quote, you know, because we see him all the time. If you're in the Midwest, as we are, you know, you sometimes see, you know, some roadside barbecue, you know, place. They pop up here right across the street every once in a while.
Right.
And, you know, I have not eaten any, and I'm going to be really skeptical from this point on. But, yeah, that was a great start, man, to this this new little thing that we're going to do, this new little segment, man.
And that happened in, like, 1994, so...
Yeah.
You were living right outside of Baltimore.
I was actually probably in the Glen Burnie area, if anybody's familiar with Anne Arundel County, which is only about 10 minutes outside of Baltimore. I didn't visit that place a whole lot.
Did you?
Joe Metheny is a good damn reason.
Did you ever have any good pork tenderloin sandwiches up there?
I did not. Only that my mama made. And there was no body in the freezer in the basement. So. All right, man. That was great. Joe Metheny from Baltimore. Check him out. Murderpedia.org. Is that what you said it was? If you want to learn more, again, we're just throwing a little bit out here to maybe entice you on some serial killers, some really sick motherfuckers that you may not have heard of. Maybe some of you have. If you're sick motherfuckers, well, not in that aspect, but like Malice and myself, because well, some would say we're kind of sick and twisted if we, you know, looking into the and studying and reading all of this horrible, you know, brutal shit that you know some of these people do, and more people that we're going to feature. We've been talking about you know, next week's sick motherfucker, and whoa, we're stepping it up a notch from old Joe. I can tell you right now.
A real sick motherfucker.
You are definitely going to enjoy. You're definitely going to enjoy next week's SMF. That was great, man. That was a great segment. I hope you guys, enjoyed this. I did hear some comments. over there, you know, at Gorehounds on Facebook, commenting on one of our podcasts that, you know, they kind of like to hear more, you know, of serial killers and you know, that you never, you know, don't know a whole lot about, you know. Not so much the Ted Bundys, not so much the, you know, the Dahmers, whatever. Which
the mainstream media.
Exactly. Right. The ones that got a lot of publicity. But there are so many more out there.
But it's also kind of hard to do sometimes, because if you're into something like that, the chances are you might know who they already are.
You very well may. So if you are one of those listeners, just be patient. Maybe we'll dig up one that you haven't heard of. So with that, I think it's time to catch our breath. We're going to take a small break. And in this break, you're going to know who we're talking about, who these two legends are, if you could, you know, distinguish the voices, because I'm not going to tell you who's in the break, but you'll be able to. I think most people, as you mentioned in the beginning of the show, you know, if you don't know these guys, and maybe not strictly from their voice, but you probably would. If you don't know who these guys are and you claim to be a horror fan, you're a poser. You should really know who these guys are if you claim to be any kind of horror fan, horror, you know, lover or whatnot. So we're going to take this quick break. Listen to these two clips. These are the two horror legends that we are going to be discussing right after this break. I'm Otis B. Dreads.
I'm Malice Murphy.
And we'll see you on the other side. Enjoy the clip.
My first inspiration as far as doing makeup was Lon Chaney Sr., the silent screen star, makeup artist, stuntman, actor, you know. He flipped me out. I saw a movie called Man of a Thousand Faces in this theater, the Plaza Theater, when I was 12 years old, and I flipped out. I had a makeup kit. I used to go to my relatives' houses and make myself up, but they would look at me and wonder why I was doing this, you know, put a tattered shirt on or a bandana and make my face brown, and I'd stand there like this, you know, and they'd say, very nice, why are you doing this, you know. Then I would steal lipsticks out of my mother's purse, you know, and just anything I could get my hands on to do makeup. And I was just this little Italian kid loafing on the corner before that. And I saw this movie and it was like, hey, I can be different people through makeup, you know? A whole world opened up, a bunch of new characters opened up whenever Chaney opened up his makeup box, the Phantom of the Opera, the Hunchback.
So I think people that are into horror, particularly graphic horror, get a rush out of it that you know, almost you can't explain. I'm not sure why. I'm really not. It's either that prurient desire to see the moment of death.
Guys like the Maniac or the Friday the 13th ripoffs, you know, those creeps, guys like that really do exist outside.
All right, welcome back. Night of the Living Dreads, of course, once again. I'm Otis B. Dreads.
I am Malice Murphy.
And for those, again, who are, you know, into the horror, which hopefully is everyone listening, anybody listening. And I know everyone is over there, Gorehounds of Horror on Facebook. Don't forget to travel over there and check them out. 9,000 plus strong, my friend.
That's a lot of fucking people.
9,000. That's a lot of good people. And of course, you're going to have a few bad apples, as you will with any large amount of people. It's just bound to happen. But on the most part, great, great group of people over there. Gorehounds of Horror, check them out. They're our good friends. And so just wanted to give them some love. Okay, for those who are you know, into, you know, some really good old horror as well. Not talking about, you know, this new shit just really upsets me.
A lot of it, yeah.
A lot of it really does. You know, there's a few out there, but some of the ones we're going to talk about today, you just can't deny our you know, I don't think really, you know, bad films. Some of the ones we're going to talk about are classics. Now, I'm just curious if anybody was able to guess the two gentlemen speaking during our break. I'll give you about 5 seconds. Okay, time's up. I didn't hear any answers.
Who were they?
The first gentleman you heard was a man by the name of Tom Savini. Yes, Mr. Thomas Vincent Savini. A lot of you should know, and probably do know, that he was not only a makeup artist, okay, but he also directed, which we'll go through his films, which he did special effects and directing, as well as stunt performer. He did a lot of his own stunts.
Right.
He was also an actor. This guy was like a jack of all trades when it came to, and when we go through the films, you'll see they're mainly horror-based. There's a few that don't fit into the genre, right, that we were looking at, and I think you brought up, like, what is this Wallflower movie? I don't get that. You know, it looks like a Lifetime movie or something.
Yeah,
but I think that was one of the ones he acted in. But we'll get to that. A lot of people may know that he also paired with our second legend tonight on numerous occasions on some very iconic movies. And that would be the late, great George Romero.
The Godfather.
He's like the godfather of zombie movies, of the zombie movie. Everything kind of evolved from that iconic, you know, 1960s, you know, zombie movie. It was so out there on so many different levels. And we're going to discuss that too when we dive into George Romero. So there you go. Tom Savini and George A. Romero is who we're going to talk about tonight. And you actually brought these two to my attention. I was honestly, folks, I was at a loss on really what to do this week's show on. And I'm like, oh, man, I just cannot think of anything, man, just to really grab. And then you mentioned George Romero and Tom Savini. And we had a few others that I think we'll get to.
Definitely.
On another show that I won't mention, but very much legends in their own right. And I was like, that is perfect. That's absolutely perfect, man. Let's talk about George Romero and this zombie culture that he pretty much fathered, you know, when it came to, you know, the movies. And let's talk about Tom Savini. They go hand in hand, you know, and bread and butter, steak and potatoes, you know, beer and crabs. Not those kind of crabs. I'm from Maryland. I thought we mentioned that earlier. I like steam crabs. But so let's start with Mr. Tom Savini. As I mentioned, you know, he has done numerous things, directed, acted, special effects, also did special effects and acted in some of the same movies, which is a feat. Boy, this guy is just a real busybody. And, you know, this is what I noticed, Malice. You had mentioned that you had watched a little documentary on Savini and his work and whatnot, and I was like, yeah, I'm gonna check it out. I'm gonna check one of them out. I don't know if it's the same one. I think we did determine
I'm pretty sure.
It was, yeah. And I watched this, man, and he just seems like a really cool, down to earth guy.
Definitely. I mean, he went through his entire career, and then now he's a teacher. You know.
Yeah.
You know.
His own school,
giving out all of his secrets and his, mm-hmm. you know, his tricks and everything. That's pretty awesome.
I mean, he has a talent that, you know, has and a resume that really, you know, says it all. Which we'll start right here. He directed or was a director Well, it's Night of the Living Dead. This looks like a remake there. It doesn't give me the dates here. But and another George Romero film, Dead Time Stories, The Theater Bazaar, Tales from the Dark Side. And one that's in development, it states, and that would be Nightmare
City.
Nightmare City, yes. My eyes are not very good. All right, let's go down to some of the ones he acted in. From Dusk Till Dawn, Dawn of the Dead, The Land of the Dead. When will you? Where will you be when the end begins?
The Diary of the Dead.
Yes, Planet Terror, Machete. Machete, is that girl or
no? Machete Kills.
Machete Kills. Django, Maniac, Knight Riders, Creepshow 2, The Lost Boys, The Tribe, which I guess is a sequel. I've never heard of this before.
I've not seen it.
Yeah, I've never heard of it before. The Forest of the Dam, and here come the two that we were kind of like, not sure what this is supposed to be. This is Zach and Miri. Make a what?
Porno.
A porno. Oh, okay. And then The Perks of Being a Wallflower. Those are the ones he directed in, ladies and gentlemen. Probably a lot of them we've seen.
So, no, he was an actor in those.
Actor in those. Oh, that's right. Yeah, an actor.
Well, I've seen Zach and Miri make a porno, and I don't remember him being in that movie.
Really?
Hang on a second. No, I do remember now. He's
on it. I'd recognize that penis anywhere. Porky's.
I think he's a guy that rents them the building.
Ah,
I'm pretty sure.
Well, he'll look like the creepy Italian guy, which he doesn't.
But yeah, The Perks of Being a Wallflower. I've never heard of it.
Come on,
never
you
seen
own it.
It. You borrowed it. Won't give it back.
Man, he threw me under the bus, folks. All right, special effects and makeup projects that he worked on, Mr. Savini. Dawn of the Dead, The Day of the Dead, Maniac, Friday the 13th, the first one, and Friday the 13th, the final chapter. The Prowler, which I've seen The Prowler, and I'm going to tell you what, I didn't know at the time. I'd seen it a while ago, and at the time I didn't realize who did the special effects. And then not that long ago, I was watching, I think it was a short little documentary. I love documentaries. I'm an addict when it comes to that. I was watching a documentary about Savini, and it mentioned that he did, the special effects, and it showed, the infamous pitchfork through the midsection in the shower, just a really brutal twist on, the old psycho shower scene. And I was like, oh, I got to watch this again. Great movie. Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. I got to get close to here.
The Burning.
Oh, The Burning. Thank you for your good eyes. The Burning. Creepshow. Creepshow 2. Alone in the Dark. Monkey Shines. And if you thought Chuck Norris was, going to not be on this list, you are wrong. Invasion USA. Martin, which I have not seen. I do want to see. It seems pretty creepy.
It's a crazy looking razor blade on the cover.
It is, and it don't have teeth. Is that what it is? Imagine almost as a vampire teeth or
cutting
something.
Cutting up some powder with that.
Man, not with them fangs. Death Dream. Nightmare. What is that? The Necronomicon. The Book of the Dead. It's a H.P. Lovecraft rendition of one of his books in the movie form. Red Scorpion, Midnight, and again, the Nightmare City in development. So this guy is a busy, busy man. Now, let's just talk briefly about what probably those who have looked into, Tom Savini, probably already know. Okay. And I apologize if I'm just beating a dead horse here. But, okay, he was a, he was in Vietnam. He did combat photography. So he would go out and pretty much take pictures of the carnage. You know, he's in combat. Somebody gets blown up. Click, click. You know, he's taking pictures of it. And I thought something was really interesting because, you know, you hear stories of vets that came back from Vietnam and all the horrible shit they saw. You know, they have such a, you know, a hard time, you know, just dealing with that. I'll just put it that way. And to think that, you know, Tom Savini, you know, was out there as well, was having to photograph, you know, this stuff.
Okay. Right.
And he was already, mind you, into the makeups and doing effects and doing different things with, you know, latex and whatnot, which I really hope it's the clip that I'm thinking of. But yes, I think you heard him talk about his you know, early days. You know, he was young, 12, 13 years old, taking, you know, lipstick out of his mother's purse, you know, trying to get money from his mother to take and buy makeup so he could do, you know, different things because, you know, he saw his first horror movie. He explained that, so I just had to backtrack a little bit, but I'm not going to go through it all because you heard him explain it, so you don't need me to. anyway, so he kind of like desensitized himself to all of this, you know, real gore. Okay, just tragedy all around, you know. By taking what he said, you know, when he was taking a picture, it was like looking through the camera, he was looking at a special effect. It was only when he pulled the camera away that it became something real to him. Does that make sense to you, Malice?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's kind of how, you know, he really thought about it. And he was already into the whole makeup thing. You know, anything you want to add to that, man?
Other than, like, I mean, he was, you know, the best of his time. Like,
yeah.
I mean, he made movies for me, like, terrifying.
Sure.
Like, you know, I seen Friday the 13th, you know, he created, you know, pretty much the image of Jason.
He calls himself is almost like a hitman. He says that people call him and have him come up with ways to kill people.
Well, he did.
Now, of course, special effects. He did. I mean, and one of his, you know, best ones that he's really proud of that he talks a lot about is the whole machete in Jason's head, and he falls down and, you know, slides down the machete. You know, of course, they couldn't use a real head, as he said. So, you know, I mean, he configured all this, you know, robotic head, and it's great. I mean, it's absolutely great. Can't say enough about the guy. But, you know, he took, and he always said that he would take, and the things that he saw, you know, real life gore, he was like, in order for people to believe it when watching a movie, they kind of have, you kind of have to, you know, make it as real as possible. Now, I don't know if you remember offhand the intestine story.
Oh, yes.
If you want to go into that. And this is how real, this is how real, this is an example of how real Savini wanted to be. That, you know, if you could get real intestines to make it, you know, appear to be, you know, coming out of another human being or of a human being, not real human intestines, but what they use, pig
intestines.
Tell us that story, Mel.
So they had them stored in a 55-gallon drum, and, you know, they kept them refrigerated because they kept reusing them for different scenes, and someone had accidentally unplugged the refrigerator and
fired.
Yeah, they didn't, you know, they didn't have enough time to go out and try to find a new, you know, barrel of pig intestines.
Right, because the guy that was in charge of making the call said, I mean, it took him numerous calls, you know, calling around, you know. People are like, probably freaking out. Like, what do you need a 50-gallon drum of pig intestines for, boy?
Not even pig intestines. You guys sell intestines?
Intestines.
Yeah, we're looking for some intestines, please.
50-gallon drum for
as many as you can sell us.
And other organs, too. I don't think
right.
It was just pretty much the innards.
Right. You got the entrails for sale?
Got some entrails. So go ahead, brother. So,
you know, they're reusing these putrid pig intestines that's been sitting out, you know, like in like room temperature
all night,
and
they said,
you know, so they're taking aftershave and like trying to rub it on their mustaches, and you know, some of the actors are, you know, taking, you know, earplugs and stuffing them up their nose to
try
to block
the smell.
Like the ones they
use at like a shooting range, like
right,
you know, a little like styrofoam or whatever, they're shoving them up their nose. I mean, just can you imagine the takes that, you know, and there was a couple takes.
Right.
You know, where one is zombies. It was Day of the Dead? Is that the one it was?
It might have been Day of the Dead. Or
I cannot remember. Anyway, I will, as always, I will put links to the full video that you can see where both of the clips that we played during the break came from. And you can hear the full story from you know, Mr. Savini himself. But, yeah, so they said they walked in the next morning, man, and they opened a door. And this is after they've been at pretty much room temperature. You know, these pig innards been room temperature all night in this, you know, warehouse or wherever the hell they were at. Stunk up the entire fucking place.
Oh, I can only
and then
imagine.
And then, like you said, man, they didn't have time to go and, you know, okay, well, is the intestine store open right now? No, that wasn't an option.
Can somebody spray some Febreze, please? Can you plug a Glade in?
Can we at least open a door?
Somebody fart, please? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, somebody shit themselves in a hurry. You know, they couldn't just run out and get fresh ones and throw these out, you know, fumigate the place. No, they had to use these because that was Savini's, you know, I won't say command or order, but this is how he wanted to do the scene, to make it look as real as possible like what he saw in Vietnam. And the only way to do that was to keep using this rotting, you know, innards of a pig. And you can see it, the one guy, there's a scene where the guy gets ripped in half, and they're stuffing this, you know, all this rotting pig innards down in this, you know, compartment or whatever.
The fake body, yeah.
Yeah, a fake body. So when they rip the fake legs off, then, you know, it looks like there's a bunch of, you know, guts and everything, and it looks real.
Wrong.
I'm not even going to,
yeah,
because it is just not of a human, you know, which is a big thing, and it's a big thing with Savini. But you can see the actor laying there, because half his body is kind of under, you know, under the floor and whatnot, and he is just, they give him, they have respirators that they would have to give the actors while they're packing all this, you know, filth.
Yeah.
You know, respirators, man, and masks. Can you imagine? I've never smelled rotting pig innards, so I really don't. I can only imagine. Have you ever smelled rotting pig innards?
I've not smelled like rotting pig innards, but I've, you
if
know,
you
I've
say
smelled
people innards. Huh?
I've smelled rotting like flesh, like not human flesh,
but
you know,
say,
like, you know,
why
from,
did you tell me this before?
From, you know, from a deer carcass or animal carcasses from hunting.
I'm sure that's going to smell lovely.
You know, there. This one particular time, you know, we had a possum get in the trash can and eat the diapers, you know, from my boys when they were little.
Yeah.
And it, you know,
it's like
crawled under. It crawled under the car in the drive that we had parked in the driveway that wasn't running at the time, and, you know, choked to death on a fucking shitty diaper, and we couldn't figure out what the fuck smelled like death in the fucking out back, you know, and it was awful. So I can only imagine.
It was a possum who had choked to death on one of your son's diapers.
Yeah.
That's a great story.
Dude, it was nasty. So I can imagine a 55-gallon of pig innards.
Right. Okay, so that story was a point of reference. I got you. All right. I was like, where do we go there? No.
Yeah.
No, that's great. Okay. No, I've never smelled it. You've maybe come
close.
I'm
sure you smelled roadkill before.
I have.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I would assume times 10 of that.
Easy, easy. Yeah. So that would be horrible conditions.
They said that
the kind of guy that Savini is.
But some of the like not known actors as zombies, some of the, you know, the extras were, you know, he said some of the guys were, you know, putting the innards in their mouth. And
yeah.
The one guy kept like turning his head,
slapping it on his cheek or his chin.
That
or
would
something.
Still be disgusting.
He was like,
ugh.
Some actors would, you know, literally go through with it and you know, get it in their mouth and like tear it apart. It's, no. So when you see them doing that, you know, and ripping apart, that's quite possibly rotten pig innards that, you know, I mean, ooh, I don't know. But again, you know, we're not going to give you, you know, Savini's life story. You know, if you want to know more and you don't know, you know, a lot of his movies and whatnot, I will put some his website as a link in the description so you can go and check out. If we mentioned some movies that, you know, you haven't seen, you can go through the list, check them out. There's some that I found on the list. That I want to see. So, and I'll have all these, you know, links again in the description. But let's move on to a Mr. George Andrew Romero. Unfortunately passed away July 16th, 2017. Of course, you know, filmmaker, writer, editor, most famous for it's a 1968 film, Night of the Living Dead. It is pretty much said, you know, he, again, we say Godfather, which it works too, but the father of the zombie film. This guy, and not just, you know, I mean, all zombies. I mean, there were a few things he did. Martin, that was the movie that we mentioned Savini took and, let's see, did he do special effects or act in it or something? I'm
sorry, what movie you say?
Martin.
Martin. I think he did both. I think
that might have been one that he did do both. That came out in 1978. The original, The Crazies, there's a newer version of The Crazies, but the 1973 version, that was also a George A. Romero fan film. Dawn of the Dead, of course, 1978. Day of the Dead in 85. Creepshow from 82. Monkey Shines from 88. The Dark Half, 93. Bruiser from 2000. And he also did a little bit of creating and executive producing on Tales from the Dark Side from 83 to 88. So it's pretty clear, you know, he was into, you know, that horror, genre. But at first he was not. He you know, that wasn't really his stick, you know. He, I think, produced and was helped directing some local beer commercials. Duke Beer, I think he did the directing on that. Let's talk about him and this. What we see now is almost like a cult worshiping of you know, these newer zombie films. And I know a lot, you know, of, you know, gore hounds. I know a lot of you hounds like The Walking Dead. I'm never been a big fan of a lot of zombie movies, period. I love the, you know, the 68 Night of the Living Dead. I do like that. There are some a little bit later, you know, of course, Day of the Dead, Dawn of the Dead, you know, those are good. The older they are, the more I can tolerate them. Okay, and it's not really a tolerating thing. It sounds kind of shitty, you know, when it comes out. But nowadays, you see zombie movies where they're running, which I think sometimes can be pretty creepy.
Yeah, definitely.
But you also mentioned now they're talking. I mean, what is that all about? You mentioned a show. Is it on Netflix or something?
Yeah, like I've not. I've not even seen one episode. I've seen maybe about 5 minutes, and you know, heard the backstory of the show. But you know, the zombie's got a job and is a functioning, you know, living creature. I guess you know that. You know, would go.
So not really dead. What's the name of this thing?
It's called iZombie. I guess they would. Apparently, I guess they would look grotesque if they didn't eat brains or human flesh or whatever. But this particular one,
a normal appearance if they did.
Somewhat normal. Somewhat. I mean, they're pale, kind of look like a fucking vampire, but they're functioning there and they're talking and they're living a normal life. And this one, like, I guess if she eats the fucking brain of someone, she adopts their traits or and their personality for a short period of time. And it's just, you know,
it's kind of strange.
It just kind of like, in my opinion, man, that's shitty, man. That's not a fucking zombie. A zombie's dead.
I agree. And, you know, I'm not even like a huge, you know, zombie movie, you know, person, but this isn't helping.
No.
You know, iZombie. And maybe I should give The Walking Dead a try.
It's not bad. I like it. You know,
I should give it a try.
The last season I think I watched though was probably like season 5.
Mm.
Like I'm the type of person, I couldn't even tell you. I'm the type of person if a certain thing happens in the show and I don't agree with it, I might quit fucking watching it.
Right.
I get it. A certain character dies or something that pisses me off.
Right, right.
But this new zombie shit
you do not agree with
that
this.
That doesn't relate to the original version of a zombie, or you're putting fucking love stories in a zombie fucking movie. Come on.
Yeah.
What?
So basically, you know, it's a problem with the evolution of, you know, zombie, and everything is going to evolve because, you know, who other than me and probably yourself would want to watch, you know, a zombie movie with, you know, how they were back in Day of the Dead, Dawn of the Dead, Night of the Living Dead. I would like to see something like that.
Oh, definitely.
A newer movie made, but using that. But now, like you said, I mean,
like they did the remake of Dawn of the Dead in 2004.
Yes.
That was good.
That was not bad. I actually own that. That one was not bad. Mrs. Dredd's likes that one as well. That one isn't too bad. And I think that's the one where they're running. Don't they run in that one?
Yeah.
I think that's the one. I threw it in a few months back just because I hadn't seen it in a while. And I think that's the one where they were running. And that's when I got to thinking.
I can't remember. Doesn't Savini make like a cameo in that? Like he's like dressed up as a sheriff and he goes, "You got to burn the bodies. You got to shoot them in the head and burn the bodies."
I have to watch that again.
I think so. I can't. I was trying to look it up and I couldn't find it.
I'll have to watch that again just to find that out. But now you have these shows like where they have, you know, jobs and there's just it's not the crawling out of the grave, you know, kind of slow walking, you know, dazing off and, you know, in the space and, you know, just grotesque because they've been dead for who knows how long or just recently buried or whatever. And
starting to rot away, yeah.
Starting to rot away and they're just coming at you just slow. And you know, unless you get a headshot, cut their head off or something of that nature, I think you might be able to burn them, I think. I have a Brain Eater's Bible over there and a book called Zombie Love. Maybe we'll do a passage out of that in a future show. for all you zombie lovers. But yeah, that was scary to me. You know, that did kind of, you know, freak me out a little bit, you know.
I hate the way that they're starting to brand it.
Yeah.
You know, the same thing with some of the vampire movies.
And, you know,
it's like and a lot of different genres of movies, which I like a lot of different genres. You know, a lot of movies are fucking ruined when they put these stupid, sappy love stories and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And that has no fucking place in a horror movie, in my opinion.
Yeah. You know, I know where you got the Godfather. You call him the Godfather of Zombies. You know, it's the Godfather of the Dead was one of his other names, and the father of the zombie film. And he's got to be spinning in his grave. I would think, anyway. Because at least I would be.
I'll trying to crawl out of it and come eat the fucking people.
Right, show you what a real damn zombie looks like.
Eat the fucking people that's made this bullshit.
Some of it is pretty, you know, outlandish. A good zombie flick I can watch. Just because I'm not into, that's not my type of horror. It's not the top of the list. I'm more of a slasher guy. You know, I want to see things getting cut off, and you know, I'm not into the eat your flesh and brains type deal. Although I can see where the premise would be a little, you know, scary if that actually happened.
If I didn't have kids, man, I'd fucking hope and pray for a fucking zombie apocalypse.
Damn.
I'm ready.
He said, I'm ready. Anything you wanted to throw in there about Mr. Romero and any of his work? Have you ever seen Monkey Shines? That was an old one. That was 88. I remember when that came out. What about the Creep Shows? Did you ever watch them?
Yeah.
I was like 12 when they came out. No, 10.
It's been a while since I've seen a lot of those movies. I know I've watched them, you know, when I was little.
Right.
It's just I had, you know, just certain ones that, you know, I just repeatedly watch over and over. And then, you know, once Rob Zombie hit the fucking film industry, like, it's usually my go-to is House of 1,000 Corpses.
Or, right.
Devil's Rejects,
yeah.
Every once in a while, I'll branch out and watch something else.
Right.
The main genre I like, I love ghosts and demons.
A lot of paranormal type, which we have talked about a few episodes ago. Where does zombie movies rank? Let's see. Give us your top three, you know, horror genre type movies. What kind of horror movies do you like? Your top three. We'll start with three.
Start with three. That would be zombies.
Okay.
And then second would be like slasher murderer, and then the first would be paranormal.
I'm gonna have to. My top three is actually the same but different order. And zombie movies will probably come in third. Then I would have to go paranormal, and then I'd have to go slasher. That's just my top. But you know, there isn't really there, because what other types of horror movies do you have? I mean, we're getting off of Romero, but that's fine. Again, we're not giving you his life story here. You know, we just want to talk about him. And you know, this is how we roll here in the Insane Asylum, man. Our you know, topic can be one thing. That's why we don't really plan anything until like a day before, because it could change. It changes during the podcast. So, but now, see, I just rambled and forgot what the hell I was talking about.
Like the different type of genres of
horror. Right. So other than the three we named, all we really have left is what? Demonic possession or
I think,
you know,
that would go in.
Would that go in with paranormal?
Paranormal. I would think so, because like I mean, I like the ghost aspect, you know.
Right.
Not so much like all the Paranormal Activity movies. I thought some of those were just fucking
the first
boring.
One intrigued me, and then when you got to what, 3, 4 or however many they put out, then it got a little, you know, monotonous to me.
But you got your like your Ouija board movies and your possession movies and stuff like, and your exorcism movies. I liked all those.
You know what my favorite you know, possession type movie was? That really freaked me out. And I'm talking like in my 20s and shit, man, when I would watch it. And that would be The Omen.
The original.
The original, okay. Omen. And I think it was because of that really creepy, you know, you know, that little singing you would hear when something weird was going to happen, like, you know, or right after, you know, and bitch hung herself out the window, the maid, you know. This is all for you, Damien. This is all for you. That shit creeps me out a little bit. You know, I mean, but that shit that, you know, can actually, you know, happen. Maybe that's why it creeps me out a little bit. That's why, I guess, if we're putting that in paranormal, that's probably one of the main reasons, you know. Paranormal's number 2. I don't know where I'm going with this, my friend.
Zombie movies, when I was little, they scared me.
Did they?
Like, somewhat just the idea, like, creeps me out.
Yeah, I was going to mention that because that's what you had said before. The idea of this possibly happening is, you know, creepy in and of itself.
Like, what the fuck? You know, what are we going to do? Like,
right.
Yeah, we're fucked.
How many guns you got?
Well,
that wasn't a direct
one of my favorite
question.
Zombie right. movies would okay. be The Return of the Living Dead.
Right.
Like, that was, you know, it creeped me out when I was a kid. And then watching it as an adult, I'm like, this is fucking hilarious.
Yeah, right, right. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe one of the Romero clips that we played there talks about how him and Savini would go to, and if it's not in there, I apologize, but again, I'll put the link to the full little documentary, not very long, you don't need a whole lot of time, about Romero and Savini, and he talks about how him and Tom would, you know, go and watch one of the movies that, you know, they created and just sit there and crack jokes and, you know, giggle about it and, you know, this and that. And, he was like, you know why? Because we were enjoying it. You know, some people, you know, would run out crying or, you know, just you're not enjoying it, you know, just have a good time. And what do you say? You know, it's like people like us, we can sit and crack jokes and, you know, have a good time and laugh and enjoy our time watching something so grotesque. Now, I like to take what he said there, and that was obviously not verbatim,
right?
But it was pretty much, you know, what he said. Why don't you tell me your thoughts on that? What he said there, you know, about laughing and just having a good time watching this stuff. Is it just a certain person? Is it just, you know, do you have to like it, I guess?
I mean,
like it,
I don't,
like
I don't,
we
I,
do. You
I mean,
know what I mean?
You can like it and sit there and be able to laugh and it not scare you. And
right.
You can like it and it, like, terrify the shit out of you.
And
but
maybe that's
still,
what makes you like it more.
But you still want to watch it.
Right.
You know, because it scares you and you like the fact of being scared.
Yeah.
Or you could watch it and then just laugh at how stupid some of the characters are. It's
exactly.
like, what are you thinking?
Because first and foremost, man, no matter what kind of movie you're watching, whether it's horror, and it should be, because
yeah.
it's the best damn genre out there. But no matter what you're, you know, what flavor of movie you're watching, if you can't laugh, it's there for entertainment. Bottom line, no matter what genre, it's there for entertainment, you know. And it just seems like sometimes, you know, people get all up in arms. You remember the parents getting all up in arms because of the, what was it, Silent Night, Deadly Night, that they had the commercial that showed Santa Claus. Yeah, you know, a serial killer dressed up in a Santa Claus suit, like, you know, killing people, and in the promo, you know, for it. And, you know, kids are associating Santa with all this violence, and, you know, all these little, you know, soccer moms are getting together and trying to, you know, cause some shit. Well, they actually got the commercial pulled. I'm pretty sure it's Silent Night, Deadly Night. Yeah, and he's like, well, we're not trying to be famous, but, you know, kids shouldn't see. Well, you know, don't have your kids watching. Don't have your kids watching, okay? Big deal, you know, it's a business. You know, be more of a parent. Be you know, a little more conscious of what your kids are watching on TV and why are they sitting in front of the fucking TV anyway? Shouldn't they be out playing?
Yeah, I mean, they're sitting in their room and they've got a video game system and a computer and a TV, like, how do you ever expect to monitor what's going on in their life?
Now, see, now you're making me think of, you know, all topics. I got to check the time here. We are getting close to the end of the rope. So maybe we'll wrap things up with a little insight on some things that we're planning outside of this here fabulous disaster we like to call Night of the Living Dreads podcast. Some other things that we've been working on that goes along the lines of one of your favorite type of horror movie, that being, you know, paranormal type things. We're going to look into going to a place called Pennhurst, okay, which is a state asylum. Building still there, obviously, but really, really horrible history. If you don't know a whole lot about that, look into it. And this could be involved. This particular place could be involved in a project, maybe here soon. So
documentary slash investigation.
Yeah, kind of. Because when you think about the story, and you look into it and understand the history of Pennhurst, it was really heartbreaking. For me, dealing with kids, and you know, a lot of kids were involved. Let's just put it that way. And so I kind of went to go, you know, the route of, you know, getting into some history of Pennhurst when we get out there. But yes, there have been some odd happenings as Malice looks around all weird like.
Hearing something.
This place, this house here, the insane asylum, it's not called that for nothing. Has some weird happenings sometimes. Things falling off the wall in a not so gravity enforced way. But anyway, so
yeah, I'm that should looking be into buying some video equipment, yeah, some ghost hunting equipment, yeah. So a spirit box, a K2 meter.
And, you know, I always go into places like this as a skeptic. And I am a skeptic.
Right. I mean, I've witnessed and encountered things on my own behalf. And so those things I believe were real.
But in some of these, you know, so-called most haunted place in this state, most haunted place in the world, most haunted, you know.
Things that are, you know, investigated by people on TV, you know, that's got, you know, a show on a cable network. Right. I have a hard time believing that they find something every fucking week. I don't know.
Yeah. You almost have to, in a lot of these places where maybe you can go and do a an overnight investigation. A lot of these places you're not going to get anything the first night. You may.
Get
something that you can't explain, that you can't logically rule out, because that's how I go about it. I try to disprove whatever I may have heard or seen. Or whatnot. I will take every angle, you know.
That, and you're not the only, you know, group inside the building. Like, you know, unless you have enough money to rent out the whole building for the night, there's going to be other people in there.
And see, we actually did that at Hillview Manor there in PA, which is where Pennhurst is located in PA. That would be Pennsylvania for those who aren't hip on abbreviations. But, and we did have the whole building. It was a group of about 10 of us, maybe a little under 10, 6, 7. But, we had the whole building. And it was pretty intense, man. We got some things that we couldn't explain. Got some things that we ruled out immediately, you know, which is how we all went about it. So that's fun. I think that's going to be fun. You know, maybe we can make a little, mini documentary about the Pennhurst, you know, State Hospital, housed a lot of mentally disturbed children, teenagers, as well as mentally retarded kids and teenagers, and just horrible. Check into them, folks, if you haven't heard about them. All right, we're gonna pretty much put a lid on this puppy, my friend. Episode 20 in the bag. Our next episode, well, obviously, as we're recording this, Valentine's Day is in the very near future. Our next podcast, the next installment of Night of the Living Dreads, will be out after Valentine's Day. So we're gonna have a nice little special love edition of Night of the Living Dreads. Oh yeah, some Barry White and everything. Some Barry White.
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah, so gonna keep that a little under wraps again. We already know who next week's SMF is gonna be. And
yes, we do.
Man, for a Valentine's Day show. Wow. Well, not really a Valentine's Day show, but you know, a Valentine's edition of Night of Living Dreads. All right. One more in the bag. Thank you guys for listening. Come and check us out over there at nightoflivingdreads.com. If you enjoyed this heap of garbage, then we have more heaps of garbage. We do.
Yes.
And you can check all those out over there at nightoflivingdreads.com. You can also find us over there on Facebook. And another place you can find Malice and myself is at Gorehounds. Gorehounds of Horror on Facebook. And we're always over there, just one big happy horror family, talking horror, you know, sharing our passion for horror. The best damn horror group on Facebook. That's my opinion. That's also the opinion,
yes,
of a lot of other people I know. So come check us out all over there. Don't forget, next week is our Valentine's Day show. So we hope you'll listen to that. That's going to be interesting. So with that, I'm going to bid you all farewell. I am Otis B. Dreads.
I am Malice Murphy.
And for both of us, and say happy holidays, whatever the hell that means. See you next week.
Things no one knows. We're going to die.